Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Mix aliens with terrorism, and you have the formula of Hunters, Sci-Fi's next drama hour, launching April 11th, 2 weeks from now. Executive producer Natalie Chavez joins me next. Also ahead, George Off TV's Mind stars as Mind Meld with Encore, our classic trivia question of the week, and we honor one very special mother. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. You can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you with us for our Monday edition of the show All About Television. Delighted you are aboard. 46 degrees at the top of the hour. Wonderful guests coming your way in the next half hour or so. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. And here is the number you use. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room underway as well at blogtalkradio.com. It's SimonApple04 by name, and we invite you to use it as Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, is doing right now. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Natalie Chavez from Hunters on Sci-Fi joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Legislation that would have encouraged television series to halt or pull production out of the Atlanta area, such as The Walking Dead, will not go through. Georgia Governor Nathan Deal decided this morning not to sign the Free Exercise Protection Act, known statewide as HB 757. According to proponents of the act, the bill would allow religious organizations to not service people who violate their beliefs on grounds of liberty. Critics claim HB 757 would set a foundation of discrimination against gay, lesbian, and transgender citizens statewide. Walt Disney, Tyler Perry Studios, and Netflix promised to boycott the state if the bill was adopted. TV and film activity Georgia wide brings in about $6 billion in revenue annually. That's according to state stats. Deal adds the bill does not indicate, and I quote, the character of our state and the character of our people. Georgia is a welcoming state, unquote. Stars will unveil a new logo and tagline, Obsessible, next Tuesday. Along with that move, sister pay network Encore will be renamed Stars Encore and start replaying previous seasons of Stars' original series, including Outlander, Power, Ash vs. Evil Dead, and Black Sails. And Nickelodeon's long-awaited The Loud House, greenlight out of the channel's animated shorts campaign, will debut May 2nd. Chris Savino created the series and will oversee it as executive producer. And that's news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, the executive producer and showrunner of Hunters, coming 2 weeks from tonight on Sci-Fi, Natalie Chavez. Natalie, great to have you with us.
Hi, great to be here.
Do you think the program takes on more interest now because of what's happened the last week, the terror attacks in Brussels and Pakistan?
That's a great question. Look, the show has been in development for more than 3 years with the same concept, and unfortunately has become frighteningly prescient. You know, it's tragic what happened. It's horrible, and all I can hope is that we can. The show will open some questions about it. We'll explore it from a way that science fiction does best, which is an allegory, and to put it at a distance, and deal with our fears. You know, I mean, the terrorists are the monsters of our time, and that's what our show is about.
What questions would you like this series to open, as far as the dialogue for all of us?
We're living in a time of fear, and monsters are a manifestation of fear, and aliens are, a part of that. And I think how do we deal with our fear? What do we do with this idea that, we could be attacked when going to the market? We can be attacked walking down the street. That the monster is not only next to us, but maybe even right beside us, or further, as Hunters takes it, inside us. I mean, those are deep, dark things, and that's what horror and that's what science fiction wrestles with. So that's part one of that. And then I think part two is just a question of how do we respond to this? How do we, the premise of the show is about a governmental agency out to stop the hunters who are terrorists from outer space. To how far do we go? What do we do? I think it's just a very relevant question in a time when we have presidential candidates, spouting pretty strong rhetoric about how far we should go. So I think I take on all of those questions in season one, and hopefully, entertain people, but also spark some, debate about it.
Sci-fi has been on this very interesting role of original dramas, some of which are not sci-fi in the normal sense. You think of sci-fi, you think of space opera, you think of space epics, you think of unusual worlds. But you have a show like The Magicians, which really is a here and now kind of thing about the world of magic. You have Z Nation, which is sort of the network's take on zombies and featuring a Route 66 kind of background. In this case, you're dealing with an organization that very well could be existing right now.
I love what sci-fi has done in the last couple of years. I think they're going back a little bit to their roots of some classic science fiction with certainly the remake of 12 Monkeys that I worked on with Childhood End and working really with the biggest names in genre. I mean, Gail Ann Hurd is my partner on the show and executive producer of Walking Dead. This show has the auspices of Whitley Strieber, who's Gail has been a fan of for many, many, many years, and I've worked closely in Communion and Wolfen and many, many other, science fiction properties. So I love what sci-fi has been doing and the science fiction that they've been doing the last couple of years, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
And as a matter of fact, of course, sci-fi is still in the space opera situation with The Expanse, which has been very well coming back for a second season. What's been wonderful to see with sci-fi is that they've sort of broadened the definition. I mean, sci-fi has always had a broad definition, maybe not television, but in terms of the whole range of what science fiction can do. And so it's great to see that the network, with a show like this, is sort of expanding the definition for everyone to really get.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and that's, I think, what genre fans want. I mean, I was at WonderCon over the weekend, and you have everything from, like you're saying, space opera and heroes to, more fantasy and elves and, there really is a big umbrella and a big tent. And yeah, and it's cool to see sci-fi embracing all of those elements and bringing other parts of the genre community in.
Talk about how you and Gail brought Whitney Strieber's book to life, Alien Hunter. Whitney, of course, very popular novelist, not just in the science fiction or speculo-fiction world, but also in the general entertainment world. How did the book come you and Gail's way, and then how long did it take to get this book adapted as a TV series?
Well, Gail has long been a fan of Whitley, and they have had a connection over many years, and she read his book and thought it would make a terrific series and brought it to me. That was more than 3 years ago. I have to be honest, when it was first brought to me, I hesitated a little bit because I thought the landscape of alien TV shows was a little bit crowded, and I really waited until I had a really original take on the material, which was this sort of allegory of terrorism. So Whitley, the series really departs from the books, but Whitley and I worked pretty closely, and he's actually came out to the set. He flew all the way down to Melbourne, Australia, and really enjoyed his set visit and even has a cameo in the final episode. So, from start to finish, it was probably a 3.5-year process of maybe even more. I don't know how Gail actually, how long she had the book from me reading the book to putting it on the screen.
Hunters is the new drama series from Sci-Fi that will premiere 2 weeks from tonight. That's April 11th, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time. And we've got the key executive producer and showrunner with us, Natalie Chydez, live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio Live. You are with us on this Monday afternoon. If a question or comment for Natalie, don't be shy. Raise the voice. Use this number, 646 646- 652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Whipple, our friend from Philadelphia, I'm sure he's celebrating Villanova being in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Final Four next Saturday. He is with us in the chat room. That's SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow, we have a special edition 1 hour earlier than normal, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. It was 20 years ago that the Cartoon Network ushered in a phenomenon known as the Powerpuff Girls. And next Monday afternoon, the Powerpuff Girls come back. We've got the executive producers responsible, Nick Jennings and Bob Boyle. That's on a special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 hour earlier than normal. And we are going to be with you on April Fool's Day, and we're kicking off April, no fooling, with a wonderful talent. Ben Glebe, the host and now executive producer of Idiot Test on GSN. Ben Glebe from Idiot Test, live with us. That's Friday, April 1st, no fooling, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now let me flesh out the story. It's about an FBI agent out of Baltimore whose wife goes missing, and take it from there.
You know, his name is Flynn Carroll. He's a vet, and he served in Afghanistan, and he's a little bit troubled, and his wife goes missing, and that leads him to meet a government agency called the ETU, and they're chasing a group of terrorists that turn out to be not from Earth. So that's the premise. That's the premise, and that's the setup in the pilot.
Mm-hmm. So you have this FBI agent who gets into this unit as a way of trying to find out where his wife is. He then gets into this battle to fight alien terrorists. And there's also someone else involved in this unit who also has some things worth watching about her.
So he's partnered up with an agent named Allison Regan, and she is a hunter. And that's not a spoiler, because I think you'll know that coming out of the pilot. And it's really about, she is the other. She is, at least inside, what the enemy is, and how does he relate to her? How does she relate to her job? And how does she, sort of come to terms with tracking down people who are like her and yet doing horrible things? So, her journey is pretty important to season one, and their partnership. For Flynn, it's, who was the woman he loved? Who was she really? Where did she go? What happened to her? And the world has been pulled out from under his feet when he realizes, it's not the place he thought it was.
Now, of course, we can't have a program like this without a terrorist. And boy, do you have someone playing that terrorist, that somebody being one of the co-stars of a show that we all remember finally on Netflix called Nip Tuck. His name is Julian McMahon. He was wonderful in the co-starring role. And I'm curious how you're able to get him, and how does he sort of play the terrorism part?
Julian McMahon plays a character named Lionel McCarthy, who is a hunter. He's a cell leader. He's a DJ. He actually has a page on Spotify. If you want to go and look him up, I think it'll be up soon. And Julian, is a charismatic, sexy actor. And this is you've never seen Julian McMahon like this. He's terrifying. He's scary. He's focused. And he is unhinged. He's unexpected. And I think it was so super fun to come in and play with Julian on this role, because he really embraced, he learned the hunter physiology, the hunter anatomy. He incorporated all of these things into his performance. And I think it's really something special and really fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were casting our heroes, the FBI agent and the partner, who are played by Nathan Phillips and Brittany Olford, what were you looking for? Were you looking for a particular kind of actor to fit the role, or were you looking for someone who, let's say, was a generalist that had no clue what kind of role this would be, and then you sort of bring that person in to sort of really have a chance to flesh the characters out?
One thing I was looking for in Nathan, and particularly, was drawing you into his pain about his wife. And I think Nathan is a tough actor, but he's also very, very compassionate. And a lot of men don't have both sides of it. And I think Nathan sort of draws you in spades. And with Brittany playing Allison Regan, I mean, this is the toughest role for the alien. There's a thousand cliches that you could fall into, but Brittany is grounded. She's a very grounded actor, and she's also a very sympathetic actor. And when you have someone who's playing, you know, the other, who's playing the monster, I think it's something that the character needed, and she also really delivers. And in addition to just being stunningly sort of gorgeous and physical and all the other things you want in your lead.
Mm-hmm. One of the great things about the series that sci-fi does is that they're always set in a particular environment that, in a way, challenges the actors. I remember a couple of years ago when we had Cameron Fassanda, the creator of Helix, that they shot in a place in Canada that was very claustrophobic, and it was by design so that the actors would really get the environment so much it was like it would penetrate right into their psyche. Was there anything like that in putting Hunters together?
Luckily, we were able to shoot in, we actually shot in Melbourne, Australia, and what Melbourne offered was just a variety of different topographical environments. So we were able to shoot big city and jungle and desert, you know, other planets, maybe not to be too much of a spoiler, but other environments. And so we luckily were not up in cold Canada. We were in wonderful Melbourne shooting, and it was really exciting to go down there and discover a new country to shoot in. It's you know, I can't think of another American show that shot there recently besides Terra Nova. In addition to a terrific creative community of Australian directors and cast and crew that we used during season one.
Mm-hmm. When you have that kind of balance, let's say American production crew, but also Australian production crew, and you want the show to reflect certain sensibilities, how do you, as a producer, have that balance?
What was really exciting was that there isn't a lot of opportunity to work on genre television for many of these directors and DPs, and so we really had a great pick of some fine Australian directors, Glendon Ivan, Chris Stenders, Dana Reed, and they were thrilled to be working on genre, and I didn't have to guide them much. The first day Glendon came on set and started shooting the autopsy that you see in 102 and said, "I'm shooting an alien autopsy, And he was thrilled to be there and really brought a fresh eyes and a new sensibility to genre stuff because he hadn't done it before. So it was exciting to see directors kind of discover how to shoot that stuff for the first time. It was just a really exciting process.
We're speaking with Natalie Chinez. She is the key executive producer and the showrunner of Hunters. It's the next new original drama from Sci-Fi. Premieres 2 weeks from tonight. That's April 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. By the way, 12 Monkeys, which Natalie worked on last year, that's coming back for season number 2 the following Monday night, right before Hunters' second episode. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. That's on April 18th. Natalie joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. We're the program All About Television, and we're with you live Mondays and Fridays at this hour right here on Block Talk Radio. If a question or comment for Natalie, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, tomorrow, we got a special edition coming your way with the people behind the revival of the Powerpuff Girls. 20 years ago, Cartoon Network ushered in the people from the city of Townsville, and animation was never the same since. We've got Nick Jennings and Bob Boyle, the executive producers of the Powerpuff Girls Revival. They're with us live an hour earlier than normal. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. on the West Coast. And coming your way on April Fool's Day, we've got a very special guest. Certainly apropos for it. It's Ben Wade. He is the host and executive producer of the popular GSN series Idiot Test, which returns for its third season also in April. He's not only the host, he is now one of the executive producers. Ben Wade, he's live with us right here on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In researching the series and in getting into production, did anyone do any research into intelligence agencies, counterintelligence agencies about how they do business? And if so, was that incorporated into the making of Hunters?
We did do some, but my primary research was building out the world of the hunters, and I have a consultant named Seth Horowitz, who's a former Brown University neurologist, who worked with me very closely on the development of the hunter anatomy, the hunter physiology, the sonic weapons, the planet, the modes of travel. He's now working, kind of consulting with NASA and consulting with on the Oculus project, and has been an integral part of the show, and it's been just a lot of fun working with him.
Mm-hmm. What's it like working with Gail Ann Hurd, someone who's had a great track record both in motion pictures and television, and more lately in television, of course, with The Walking Dead, which has really become, under her tutelage and Robert Kirkman, everybody involved in that series, one of the great phenomenons of recent television history?
Well, Gail's not on this call, so I can fangirl out all I want. Look, man, she's a legend. I mean, she's not only produced some of my favorite movies of all time, she's an incredibly powerful female producer. She's incredibly hands-on. She's incredibly detail-oriented. She goes to the mat for you in the big picture, in the small picture, in every detail of the show, and I am still a little bit starstruck every time I talk to her, which is pretty much every day. So it's really been a dream. I couldn't, you know, she's been an idol of mine for many, many years, and I really look up to her. And look, there's a reason her stuff's so good, and that's because she cares. She cares deeply, and she has great taste. She works hard, and I couldn't be happier with the experience that we've had working together over the last 3 years.
Okay, now we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, great to hear you, and I'm sure you and the rest of the folks in Philly are sky high about Villanova making the Final Four in the NCAA Men's Tournament.
Absolutely, Simon. We're going all the way this year.
Okay, well, right now you go with Natalie Chaidez from Hunters. Go right ahead.
Hi, Natalie.
Hey.
Since I'm from Philadelphia and 12 Monkeys was originally set in Philadelphia, and now your new show with the Hunters, the book was like sort of set in Philadelphia with the policeman's wife being from Philadelphia. Like, how important is it nowadays as a showrunner to film like where things are actually set, or through like CGI and buildings just being the same around the world? Does it just not really matter that much anymore?
That's a great question. And, you know, unfortunately we were not able to shoot practically in Baltimore, nor were we able to shoot in Philadelphia for 12 Monkeys. And really we were in Melbourne, which doubles quite well for some big cities. But it is less than ideal. So I think just because of the international nature of the business that television production is becoming, we don't often have the liberty to, dive into a city the way, you know, say Breaking Bad did with Albuquerque. But that said, we're able to shoot in a fabulous city, Melbourne, that really did quite well for standing in for a lot of different international locations.
Cool. It just seems like a huge challenge on yourself to maybe envision certain elements and then have to go all the way across the world to find possibly like what you were envisioning in a whole different country. So, you know, kudos
to
you.
Well, part of it, I think, is working backwards. And I think it was actually getting there and seeing what do I have at my disposal, as opposed to trying to fight what was at hand and making it into something that wasn't. So, I've definitely heard Vince Gilligan talk about that with using Albuquerque, and you just have to go the other way. I just didn't have the assets for it. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, definitely go check it out. And, you know, it seems like it's going to be pretty cool, pretty scary, frankly. So
thank you.
Best wishes.
Thanks,
Simon.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thanks for the call. All the greatest. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. You know, one of the hallmarks of this show and 12 Monkeys and sort of The Walking Dead has been, A, the opportunities of giving women to be in television and also people of color to be in television on both sides of the camera. How do you, try to, along with Gail, try to really maintain diversity or expand diversity in your series? And also, what do you think is next for the medium to do? What should television be doing in terms of opening up more opportunities for women, more opportunities for people and women of color that is currently not happening now?
Wow, thank you so much for that question. I mean, it's something that I feel incredibly passionate about. I think right now I'm the only Mexican-American woman working as a showrunner in television, and that's a pretty incredible statistic, being that I live in Los Angeles. So I think, Gail's work, and especially in The Walking Dead, speaks for itself with the diversity of her cast and with the strength of the female characters. So, look, man, it's twofold. It's in front of the camera, and we have a great actor named Mark Cole Smith, who's an Aboriginal actor, playing himself, playing an Aboriginal character on American television. We have Brittany Olford, and I really strove to, I asked for 50% of my extras on set to be diversity, which is sometimes a bit of a challenge shooting in Melbourne, Australia. But it's in front of the camera and it's also behind the camera. It's who we hire as showrunners and as executive producers. I'm very proud to say that I've worked in television 22 years, and I hired a female DP. Gail and I hired a first-time television DP named Bonnie Elliott, and it was the first time in my 23 years in television of working with a female DP. So that was exciting. So you do what you can to move things forward. I'm proud of what we were able to do on Hunter's first season, and I look forward to opening the door for more people, both in front of the camera and behind it.
The program is Hunters, and it premieres 2 weeks from tonight on Sci-Fi. That's Monday, April 11th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And again, the second season of 12 Monkeys, which we covered on this program last year with the producers of that series, that will return for its new season the following Monday, April 18th, 1 hour earlier, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, both programs on Sci-Fi. Check your locals for where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the programs and the network online, here's where you go, www.sci-fi. YFY.com, www.sci-fi.com. Natalie Chavez, executive producer, showrunner of Hunters, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you on for the very first time, and I hope we have you back very, very soon. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground, and hopefully many, many seasons of Hunters in store.
Thank you so much, Simon. Pleasure.
Same here. Take care, Natalie. You're the greatest.
Okay, so long. Bye-bye.
Natalie Chavez of Hunters joining us live from Los Angeles. We'll have our classic trivia question of the week and a salute to Mother Angelica after we have some thoughts from the folks at Audible.com. If you love sound, if you think sound is a great way to have entertainment, a great way to have inspiration, a great way to be moved and touched, well, can't think of a better way to get sound entertainment information than from Audible.com. Here's why. They are the leading provider of all of that, with over 180,000 titles to choose from. And you can choose from them 24/7. Even better, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. And sign up at this URL. That's audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. And right now, you can get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. If you're into popular TV shows like Downton Abbey, there's a lot of Downton Abbey available for you at Audible, including The World of Downton Abbey, narrated by Oscar nominee Elizabeth McGovern. If you're into unique information, unique ways of science and technology, check out The Power of Myth, the award-winning series with Bill Moyers and the late Joseph Campbell. And if you love classic radio, there is no greater classic radio than the wonderful work of Orson Welles, especially given science fiction is our topic today, The War of the Worlds. Nobody did that H.G. Wells classic like Orson Welles did back in the late 1930s, and it shocked the heck out of the U.S. of A. And you can hear that wonderful immortal broadcast through Audible.com. Like I said, a great selection to choose from, over 100,000 titles, one free audiobook, 1 month trial, and great customer service because Audible is an Amazon company. So check out this URL and get involved with Audible.com. It's audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You won't be sorry when you get great Spoken Audio Entertainment information and inspiration from audible.com. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. As we mentioned on Friday, we held over the question from last week, so we're going to replay it again. And if you are first with the correct answer, here's the prize in store for you. It's Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the acclaimed first novel by wonderful writer-producer John Wilder, whose TV credits include The Streets of San Francisco, Spencer for Hire, and Centennial. He was with us on the program last fall. Fantastic guest. And this book from Balcony 7 can be yours if you know the answer to this week's question. And it's simple. Complete this Good Times theme lyric. That's a lyric from the TV series Good Times. Easy, blank. Easy, E-A-S-Y, blank. You give us that lyric, you win. Nobody Dies in Hollywood. How do you do it? You email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. It's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. You can also use Twitter to get your reply in with this hashtag, TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. That Twitter app is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite all of you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at hopscotch.com. And if you just missed the question, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Either way, get in there and win, and you'll be rewarded very well for it. So good luck. When we come back, a tribute to a wonderful person, Mother Angelica, and the Catholic Network Empire she created. We'll get to that after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio on the planet, with more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for DC On Screen. Get the latest on Batman vs. Superman and all of the DC programming, both television and film, every week, right here, various times, on Blog Talk Radio. Best VTR available always 24/7 at YouTube.com. And don't forget, you can also use Apple TV 2.0 to hear and watch our program and other Blog Talk Radio podcasts using the new iTunes podcast app. Welcome back to Marvi Televised. I'm Simon Applebaum here with you on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great Easter and Good Friday weekend. And we're happy to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment about the world of television, you can still ring in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And now, a tribute. We mentioned on Friday's program that so many people passed away over the preceding 48 hours. Comedian and TV series creator Gary Shandling. There was Earl Hamner, the creator of The Waltons and Falcon Crest and other wonderful television programming. And also the great baseball broadcaster and iconic TV personality, Joe Garagiola. Well, unfortunately, we have to add another person to that list. She passed away on Easter Sunday, and she was one very special mother. Her name was Mother Mary Angelica. And in 1981, she launched a television network out of a monastery basement in Birmingham, Alabama. The network was EWTN, Eternal Word Television Network. And in time, it became the largest such network on the air in the United States and spun off several networks of similar size around the world. Mother Angelica was a very unique Catholic person. She was someone who knew what she wanted to do, and she knew how to do it. Yes, she was feisty at times, but she had a great love of God, a great love of community, and a great love of what television could do for her faith. And it certainly did. It was Mother Angelica that not only had nightly prayer services, and also her own talk show, Mother Angelica Live, became such a very popular, unique habit for a lot of people. It also brought back such classics as the drama series This Is the Life, and Bishop Fulton J. Sheen with his 1950s series Life is Worth Living. And the Bishop Sheen program, that was syndicated for a number of years in the 1960s on WAW Channel 5 here in New York and other Metro Media stations around the country. Like I said, Mother Angelica could be very feisty. She was not your typical nun or your typical Catholic lay person. She was her own kind of breed, her own kind of special thing, but she was determined to make TV work. And like other people who launched television networks in the 1980s, people like Jerry Laybourne with Nickelodeon, Kate Coppice with USA Network, and Beverly with BET, she became really one of the foundation people behind the movement of women running their own television networks. And she should be very proud of that accomplishment. In 2000, Mother Angelica left EWTN, and the year later, she had a stroke As it turned out, it was a stroke that would paralyze her in many respects for the rest of her life. She was confined to a monastery for the last 15 years, and she died on Easter Sunday from complications of that stroke. I had a chance to see through YouTube the tribute that was given to Mother Angelica on her own network, EWTN, last night. It was very factual, but it was also very, very on point. She was a great, great leader of people, and she was a great, great leader of her faith here when she had her time on earth. Mother Angelica died at the age of 92, 92 years young, 92 years great, and as I said, after a wonderful 20-year run of causing the greatest Catholic network in the history of American and world television. And that network will continue to prosper long after her passing, I can promise you that. And that is a really great accomplishment for a very special mother. Well, that is our program for this Monday afternoon, day after Easter 2016. We will be back with one more show for March, and that's tomorrow at a special earlier time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And joining us will be the executive producers of the new revival of the Powerpuff Girls. It takes place 1 week from today. I believe it's at 6 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on Cartoon Network. We'll have executive producers Nick Jennings and Bob Boyle. And then we will kick off April, right on April Fool's Day, no fooling, with the host and now executive producer of Idiot Test, the one and only and amazing Mr. Ben Glebe. I've had a chance to meet him twice over the last year. He's marvelous. If you've never seen him away from Idiot Test, I think you'll be in for a lot of fun. That's Ben Glebe from Idiot Test joining us live on April 1st. The new season of Idiot Test, Season 3, premieres in mid-month. And also this year, there'll be a special political Idiot Test program, and that'll be running in probably May or June. Ben Glebe joins us. That's this Friday, April 1st. So start the month with us right here. On tomorrow will be televised. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, no problem. Go to our homepage anytime. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Incidentally, on Easter Sundays yesterday, we had more than 1,000 replays, and we can't thank you enough for that wonderful turnout. So keep it all coming right at blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out the podcast version at iTunes.com. And as always, you can download to your smartphone or tablet and take us on the go anytime you like. Remember, we are also available through email. We'd love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, please include your name and where you're from. That's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And also, we'd like to solicit your opinions for our regular feature, our show to know. Is there a TV show that you like, you think doesn't get enough attention? Well, you email me, give us the thoughts. If we use your suggestion on the air, of course, you get the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Also, you can check me out on the web at MediaDose.com, the wonderful website founded by Jack Myers of terrific media analysis and commentaries. I do regular tomorrow televised columns, and I also follow the upfronts that are going on. This week, we've got upfronts coming starting tomorrow from Scripps Networks, the Home and Garden TV, Food Network folks, and also coming later this week, we've got Crowd Media of Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries fame, Discovery Communications Live Networks, and Comedy Central. And we'll talk about all of that in future columns for MediaVillage.com. Check it out. It's a wonderful website, wonderful analysis and commentary available to you 24/7. And, of course, you can also find me on BK Live. It's the daily noontime talk hour here in New York on BRIC TV. You can find BRIC if you're a Verizon Fios customer anywhere in NYC. Also throughout Brooklyn on Time Warner Cable, Cabling Systems, and RCN. And we post the segment and the program every Tuesday at YouTube.com/BRIC TV. YouTube.com/BRIC TV. Today I talked about the wonderful new series from Nat Geographic Channel, The Story of God, and also we talked about the fourth and final season of Banshee on Cinemax that premieres this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Again, we love hearing from you, so do email me or find me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Either way you get communicated, we appreciate it because what you say matters. So communicate. Let's hear from you. Because after all, this show is all for you. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy DeMexico and Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow's Show Live was brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information, and an Amazon company. For Tomorrow's Show Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We're back tomorrow, 1 hour earlier, with the Powerpuff Girls, people. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. Until then, be safe and be great. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.